And we are live. Bed
Hello.
Bites. We're back. With me this time is my man, Leo Fleischman.
Hello, 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 everyone. What's
welcome,
up?
Welcome. Welcome to Fed Bites, man.
Nice to be here. Although I'm in my home.
Yeah, well, got to do it that some way.
Yeah. Very
and,
nice.
And we finally made it after we said we'd be more consistent, better prepared.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, we both got kids. I mean, life hits you hard. And sometimes, you know, things happen. But we're here. I'm happy.
Yeah, and maybe we should tell our audience a little bit about you now that you're switching up Roman. First of all, let's start with thanking Roman for all his time and effort on Fed Bites, and we're going to miss you, buddy. Good luck on your new adventures.
Sure. And about me, well, I'm Leo Fleischman. I'm a software engineer. I work in software for more than 15 years. I started in, you know, many startups. I've been working, I work in 6 years at Sisent. Now I am working in Illumex, which, you know, there are all kind of data related businesses. I really love data.
Yeah, but now you're actually doing kind of relations and partnerships, right?
Yes.
So
I'm the head of partnerships and community. I mean, I still code, which is awesome. Although my team will say the opposite, but I still touch code, and I always loved it. And it's going to be hard for me to leave it. But I'm focused in partnerships, and especially with cloud companies and with enterprise.
Oh, cool. So great. Now we have a podcast about web development where two people are talking about code, and they don't code as much as they did before. But that's okay. No, we code for fun. We love this shit. You know, we follow along. We always try to keep up to date, and we always find a way to banter each other.
I never looked at it as a work. I always thought that people pay me to do what I love, so feel really lucky. But I do. People were saying all that, Leo, why are you working so many hours? And I'm not working.
Mm-hmm.
This is not work for me. I'm having fun. So.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
No doubt. So what should we talk about in our first episode? Yo, what do you say? So we're going to touch the hot subject, which is what's going on in the React ecosystem.
Yeah, what's going on? I read the, Dan Abramov wrote, the tweet saying that he's burned out.
Yeah. Also Lee Robinson from Vercel.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, me too. And then I was thinking, okay, so I'm the CEO of Vercel, looking, reading some tweets, and I'm reading this, which is, I mean, I don't think it's straight negative to the company. I mean, it happens to everyone. But to say it so publicly, probably, it's giving some negative
vibes around, aspect. Yeah
vibes. I don't know what do you think?
I don't know. I think it's kind of cool on one hand that they feel comfortable enough to share that publicly, and I think it's more about the awareness of the fact that something like this is possible within the tech industry. And it's more prevalent nowadays than it was like 5-6 years ago, I think. And I think it's about the awareness part mostly that is like, yeah, shit, I'm not feeling so good. I've been burnt out. And the reason, we should talk about the reason they're getting burnt out. But the reason is basically devs complaining and being douchebags. Like, no offense to our audience, but, you know, we should lighten up a little bit. Like, the React team, basically, as I see it, is a lot of people have been complaining about, like, the direction that React is taking now with React Server Components, and feeling confused and even angry and pissed off at, like, the core team members and the members of Vercel that are, like, maintaining Next, because Next is basically now React Server Components, right? So we have this slew of people and developers just complaining about the future of something where they have, I think, completely blown this out of proportion, right?
Yeah, I think that, well, there are a couple of things here for separately. One, for example, that developers, you know, we always are going to cry about changes. We're always, are, you know, we're not feeling comfortable with this new thing. But in the end, you're going to embrace it and you're going to love it. So that's one thing that we're always going to cry. That's not really the problem. The yeah. other thing that I feel really nice that, you know, someone like Dan Abramov, like, said that he's burnout, it makes me feel normal. Because it yeah. happens to us all the time, and we sometimes don't want to even say it because we're working so much. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, it's overwhelming. So for a person like Dan Abramov to say that so publicly, that's amazing, because that's, you know, letting other developers in the community to say, hey, dude, it's okay. You can feel this way.
Yeah, it is okay. But it's, I think what's not okay about it is the pileup, is the, like, all this FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt that has been, like, roaming around. And again, I might have said stuff about React that might have been construed in a way that is, like, me being upset with the direction. But I keep on going back to the fact that how much, for me, like, personally, React has changed my career completely.
Completely.
Right?
Mine too.
It made, like, building UIs so much fun and easy, and just allowed us to like rapidly introduce features into products we've been working on for years. And same goes for Next.js. It's been like a godsend, right? And people yeah. are not accepting the fact that you can still do what you've been doing for the past 3-4 years with Next and React. You don't have to buy into all this new stuff. It's okay to not go into the app directory. It's okay not to use React Server Components. It all depends on your use case and what you need to get achieved, right? All depends
yeah,
on.
Yeah, and also you have alternatives. You have, you know what? You don't like any of this, use Preact. I don't know, whatever. It's like a worst case scenario. Do what you can, use your own library. God damn it, do whatever. Yeah. You want. But
fucking just streamline HTML. Write your vanilla yeah. JavaScript.
Yeah.
Write tons of files of CSS. Just
no, but I mean, don't you
ship
can't
it.
Be mad. With the technology. I mean,
yeah.
I remember when Angular 2 came out, I was so mad.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not even Angular, man. It's like, why they call it Angular? It was like a marketing campaign. I felt really bad. But and they bring TypeScript, and I was so mad. I was
yeah.
mad. I hated it. It was TypeScript for me was the worst. Why I need to use this? And imagine that. Imagine us today without TypeScript. I mean,
right.
I mean, so that's what I, and then I'm thinking, I was so stupid. It's like, I was so young. And it's like, come on, just don't get mad with the technology.
Yeah, especially with people that, you know, okay, so what? Maybe the team that works on React is not the best example, but a lot of open source projects are built by people like in their spare time, right? Open source maintainers are doing it because of their love for code in the industry and trying to make things better for a lot of other developers. And you still got all these whiners coming out and just complaining about every little fucking thing and like expecting maintainers to drop everything and solve their problem. Like, yeah, fuck. It's like, open source. Like, open up your
PR. I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable with this technology. Change it for me.
Yeah, I don't like that API.
No. So, yeah, we are like that. And we actually, probably we did it.
Could be. Again, we're the worst. Like, developers are the whiniest, the most opinionating, most emotional, like, people there. And yeah, I'm guilty of it, too. Like, I get on tangents about, like, whatever the fuck. It could be, like, the stupidest thing, right? Oh, have versus spaces, right?
I can give you an example right now. Okay. Let's talk about it. Tailwind. I don't want to say I hate it, but because...
But you do.
Yeah.
You do with a fiery passion.
Yes. Listen, I know why, okay? I know why is the whole fuzz about it. I know that with Next, it's the way to go, specifically for, you know, server rendering. I know. But let's go back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Isn't that, you know, the classes in a component something that we were trying to stay away from, you know? Like, I see these components with Tailwind and they look horrible. I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, if it's something about the look or if something about the syntax. I can't use it. I mean, and also I need to remember all these colors and these palettes. It's like, fuck you, man. I don't want to use this. I understand why everybody use it with Next, and probably because there are not tons of alternative, but I don't like it. I think we can do better. I think style components are the best. For developer experience are amazing, and we have
except for the user experience, which gets fucked because like it's a runtime.
Yeah.
Liability, sure. Right?
Exactly. So I understand why, you know, can't be used with Next, but for developer experience, it was life changing for me. I bring it to Sisens, I remember, and it was wow! It was a game changer. We build, you know, the library, and we start to share components, style components, and it was like amazing, amazing. Yeah. The productivity went to the roof.
Well, I feel like that about Tailwind. I think Tailwind is such a productivity booster. Dude, we can get into this, but I think this is not what we came here to kind of discuss.
Yeah.
Again,
I wanted to show you the example that it's something I hated, but you know, because I have the experience and because I'm not getting married with technologies and because I can't hate the technology, even that I don't like it, it's totally right. another tool.
Your users don't fucking care if you use Tailwind or styled components or Uno CSS or Panda CSS or Vanilla Extract or so many Linaria or there's so many, right?
Yeah.
Nobody gives a fuck. Or Bootstrap even.
No. They don't care. Even Bootstrap, yeah. Oh, remember Bootstrap? Wow.
Yeah.
People remember Bootstrap still?
I think so. Like, I think, where did I see this? Was it Dan Shapiro?
You know, Tailwind reminds me of Bootstrap a little bit.
Somewhat. Again, it's a CSS framework. Like, every CSS framework kind of reminds.
Yeah, but you know, it's classes-based.
Yeah, but it's not exactly the same. Bootstrap was not...
No, it's not the same. Not the same.
Utility classes. And yeah, they're still going. I think, like, version 5 was released really? not a long time ago. Yeah, I got to check this out.
Why?
Bootstrap. I don't remember why. Yeah, Bootstrap. Yeah, it's 5.1.3 now.
Yeah, I always hated it. I never used it in a project. Never, ever.
Yeah, I always like somehow came into a project that might have had Bootstrap in it.
Yeah, it felt super heavy for me. But yeah, anyway, so with React, I mean, I think that that we are going to server components. I think it's the way to go, totally, completely.
No doubt. I think like it makes sense, right? Getting your data before you render the HTML.
Of course. Now it makes totally sense.
It made sense 15 years ago. Also, it made sense.
Yeah, but technology. I don't know if it was there. That's why we started, you know, that's why we started to, you know, to bring HTML, empty HTML, and then we're starting to inject the JavaScript because it wasn't the speed of the internet wasn't, I'm talking about, you know, 90s, 2000s. Yeah. It wasn't there. But now, come on, man, we're there.
Their devices are ready.
Yeah, we're totally ready. So the people maybe that are fighting it are, you know, people that don't want to learn anything new.
Yeah.
You know, rings a bell. At certain point, you're like, oh, come on. We're like, I always felt like a doctor that I needed to learn all the time, because if not, you're going to be in the past. All the time.
Yeah.
With developers, if you're good at it, you're learning like constantly learning. And the people who are not willing to do it, they're going to whine. And then they're going to be kept in the past, man.
Yeah. You got to go with the flow, right?
That's the other thing in this community. Not always the right technology wins.
Right.
No but doubt. The most used.
Yeah. It's always a popularity contest. There's nothing about, there is no kind of, you know, clean cut way to define what is right for you, the use case, the business, the product. There's never like the exact right fit. There's always the decision some person made at some point in time, and everybody else went with it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine we have, you know, web development. It's so, every company, even inside a company, you have many teams working differently.
Yep.
That's insane for me, because it shows that there's no like a proper way. There's the one guy. Yep. Just said, I like this.
Right. It's like best practice.
Trust me, bro.
I got this. It's like best practices. It's always bullshit, right? Because there's no such thing.
Best practices by who? You know, in a year, they're going to change them.
Yep.
Best practice. And also, you know, in each team, you have the, no. We need to use the best practices. And then, you know.
Let's document the best practices.
Yeah. And then it's like, dude, what they're going to. They're going to be totally different in a year, but probably not going to be there.
I think there's also kind of a process of disillusionment as a software developer. Like, I think it happens when you hit, like, you know, your third or fourth year of, like, really working on stuff, and you've been in a few teams, when you kind of realize that a lot of it is, like, pardon my French, but this is fucking, like, a lot of it is bullshit, right? There's a lot of philosophy and ideas behind, like, software. I'm not saying everything is wrong. I'm not saying that. Again, there is patterns, obviously. There are all kinds of design pattern. That makes sense, right? There are kind of things that evolved from workflows and ways of thinking about things that just make it easier to fit it in your head. That's fine. But a lot of the things that are being said, like dogmas that have been around like you know, stuff like microservices is the new like shiny new thing.
Yeah.
And you know, who nowadays really needs microservices, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe like three companies.
And we lived through all, you know, all the every time there was a new a hot topic, you know, a hot you know, we love new technologies, so we try to embrace them right mm-hmm. away. And it's like you know, is the proper thing to do? I mean, I don't know, because this technology is changing so fast.
It depends always. It depends always.
Yeah. Imagine all these companies using Angular. The first one, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It was, I remember the change, you know, when we bring Angular, you know, it was wow. It was like the first, you know, framework. Let's call it the framework now. So, but it was amazing. It felt like really, 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 you know, robust, and you have like everything you need. Or,
yep.
or we thought that way. And then, you know, with scale, the problems came, and it was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. It was a nightmare. And then we started, you know, all these migrations. I don't know if you did a migration from Angular to React, but oh my God.
Yeah.
That's work. And I did it like, you know, like three times with different companies. And it was, you know, the first time was totally insane.
Mm-hmm.
And these companies, oh, I think every single company that started with Angular, they migrate. I mean, there's no other way.
Yeah, but I think every company in existence almost is in a migration process from something to something else.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But with the time, you know, imagine, for example, it's a good example with React. The core team, they did such a great job changing and, you know, migrating the library
mm-hmm.
to be, you know, to stay you know, up to
relevant.
Date to the standards.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a great job. And, you know, we lived them all. We lived from, you and me, from the beginning of React till
yeah.
today, all of them. And, you know, and the upgrades were like, so, I mean, you suffer with one of them, probably with from class components.
From class to hooks a little bit, I yeah. think. Somewhere from also when it moved to 17, there was some
yeah.
like TypeScript 16, stuff. 17.
Yeah, but they did like this great, you know, this
code mods and stuff. Yeah, and
yeah.
deprecation warnings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. So, man, this team was really good.
Yeah.
So
they're not getting enough appreciation, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And now, you know, they are giving them shit. It's like, really? Or maybe these new developers giving them shit, they are like, I don't know, 14 years old. I don't know.
Yeah. No, because, respect for the elderly, huh?
Yeah, man. Come on. Come on.
I'll tell you.
I totally
you
respect.
No respect.
You know, Dan Abramov can write the tweet and say, like, I hate web development. Fuck you all. And I'm going to do that.
Like it.
Thank you. Thank you for everything. Like. I'm going to like that tweet. Because this guy, you know, gave me, I don't want to say everything, but a lot.
Yeah, he's inspiring, no doubt.
Completely. And I don't even understood how this guy is doing everything he does. Because
yeah.
he's working and he's tweeting like shit. He's tweeting like, whoa. It's
yeah.
like writing your whole life online. And he still does every, you have many other side projects like books and, you know, this podcast, whatever. He's all the time there. So, of
yeah.
course, you're burnout. Of course.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to. And we really appreciate your work.
No
and
doubt.
Thank you, Dan Abramov. Thank you
and
so much.
And the React team and so the whole team. Thank you for an amazing library.
Yeah, man, completely. Imagine other libraries came and go.
Yep, it's now it's 10 years now. But think about it. The only kind of fear I have, I guess, is are we destined to kind of go on this roller coaster of every decade or so? There's a complete almost paradigm shift. You know, Angular, like you said, you had that part when they changed from Angular 1, from AngularJS to Angular 2 and beyond, which was kind of a complete change. And that's where kind of React had the chance to get inside and get the mind share of a lot of developers. And now, you know, there's this notion, and there was this post, I don't remember who wrote it, about that asked, is React having an Angular moment? And I guess that this is somewhat of it, right?
You feel like it?
It's somewhat, because it could be construed and can be kind of inferred to a lot of people that things are changing too much. Like somebody's moving their cheese, right?
Yeah.
And they're so upset.
Yeah, but I mean, because we have Vercel in Next, mm-hmm. I feel that it's not totally like an Angular moment. I think we're going somewhere, and I feel that the changes are not, you know, well taken by the community. But it feels like the proper move, and it mm-hmm. feels like you know, they will have to adjust. That's all. But I feel that the technology is there. I feel Next is awesome. I mean, it feels so good, and it feels so fun again.
Yeah,
and React knows that they're going there. But, you know, if there's going to be a new player in this game, and it's mm-hmm. going to be, you know, with great technology, changing some things that need, like, we need to change.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I'm
all for it. And also, there's kind of a convergence of ideas between like framework authors and like core maintainers, right? Like it's not by chance that all these, like, again, frameworks or meta frameworks are creating like the same feature set, right? So folder or file-based routing and server actions and these form components and all this stuff, like to deal with data that comes from the server, and the routing is kind of similar nowadays. You know, you look at SvelteKit, you look at Remix, you look at like Solid Start, you look at Quick and Quick City. They all kind of have now about the same, they got feature parity almost with most of the things. There's some nuances, right? But the ideas are kind of the same ideas being implemented a bit differently, right? Each in their own tech. But then again, the beauty of it all, I think, with all these frameworks nowadays is the fact that you don't need to change, as a developer, you don't need to change the language you're writing to do server or client. That's always been like, for me, it's been like the biggest productivity boost.
Yeah, it feels like a team can run so fast. I remember when we started, you know, doing, you know, client and server together mm-hmm. with Node, it was, you know, such a one team to do everything. We were always the example mm-hmm. in the company. It's like, this team is going so fast, how? And, you know, that was the example. We're doing everything.
Right, because you can take it from A to Z. And you're not, yeah. you don't have dependencies on, oh no, I need to wait till the backend dude writes the yeah. APIs.
Remember those days? Yeah. It was incredible. And also, you know, that the backend and the client, they were giving shit to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gone. I mean, because also the
is
front.
Is it those? Is it?
I think, you know, the front, because the server side is like, oh, you're kids, you think you're doing server side, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
But with the time, we totally did. We totally yeah. did. So the front end, the guys were totally understanding how hard was the server. And the server guys were totally seeing what these guys were doing, it's like, oh, they're doing cool stuff.
They're really but it's complicated. You know?
And also these guys were like, you know, back-end guys were looking at how complicated is front-end today, how many things you need to understand to actually work. So they were like, okay, respect. So they, I felt that they were this, instead of giving shit to each other, were like more like respecting each other. In, you know, probably they're still in other companies giving shit to each other, but in my experience, I saw that.
Yeah, but the newer generation, like newer companies and newer teams are getting along better than what like back in the day was like a real kind of camps, right?
Yeah. My problem is that there's no front end anymore. It's like a full stack. It's the new front end.
Right.
It's, what do you mean you're not doing server? There's no, what do you mean?
Yeah, I was just having this conversation with, I don't remember who, but like the fact that there's less and less of like professionals that are front of the front end.
Yeah.
Right. Because you have all these solutions for CSS and component libraries and whatnot. They're like, meh, you don't need to know so much CSS. Just use Tailwind, right? Or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Such a mistake, in my opinion. In my opinion, it's like kids that are learning React. It's like, you don't need to learn JavaScript. No.
No.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. Just learn React. It's going to be fine. Yes?
No.
You think so? Yeah? No. Good luck.
Fundamentals, dude. Yeah. Got to learn the fundamentals.
Totally. Totally. I mean, you can. I'm not going to lie. You can probably...
and with ChatGPT on your side, you can get around and get
open
along.
Open ChatGPT,
but...
just debug, you break your mind. It's fine. But, you know, if you want to be someone in this thing, in this world of programming, you better learn the fundamentals.
You better understand how shit works.
Yeah.
Because when you hit that bug... that is not gonna like,
and not only JavaScript, also CSS. You know, remember those guys like, I hate CSS.
Yeah,
I hate it.
CSS is not a programming language.
Leo, come here to help me with this shit. CSS shit. It's like, dude, you're a software engineer. Like, are you kidding me? No, I hate it. Just tell me what to do.
Yeah, just tell me. Put in the properties here.
Yeah,
make it look nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they're flex shit. Mike.
But it's always like, nobody ever appreciated how long it takes to get pixel perfect or responsive design right.
Yeah. And also, I think that CSS requires so much love.
Yeah.
Because also, it's a technology that it's like really bad. I mean,
it used to be really bad. I think it's getting... super fucking good now.
No, that's because you know all the changes and you know how it used to be, but it's not. You know, it's the same. It's the same. You know,
it is property, the same
attribute. It's like it's the
same. We got lots of new things like in the past.
We got new things and they're making our lives easier, but it's still CSS. I mean, now that we're gonna have like it's gonna be exactly like SAS. That's amazing. Like
what, nested?
Yeah,
nested.
Nesting. Oh my god, I was waiting for nesting.
I just wrote this whole post about it. Didn't you see that? You saw it.
Yeah.
Like I went through all the old stuff and the new things that are coming.
Yeah. So now you can enjoy that because you know how it used to be. But the new developers, they're like, what is this?
Yeah, just put on Flex. Do grid, put place content center.
Yeah,
fine. That's not a problem.
And these libraries are not pushing developers to learn. It's just use this class and it works magically.
I don't know if I agree with that notion. It's not that the libraries are pushing developers not to know this stuff, right? Because I don't know if you visited the Tailwind documentation site, but it's fucking amazing. It's amazing. It's really good. It is.
Good.
you can learn CSS from that.
Yeah, well, it's okay. But but if you don't want to learn, it doesn't matter.
Of course
you
not.
You need to have the will to learn. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's going to make you better on anything, anything you do. And imagine, you know, kids doing, you know, React today. It's like you can do all kind of things without even understanding why it's doing what it's doing. But if you learn, like if you learn the core of the React library, you're going to totally understand so much. And it's going to be so much easier later.
No doubt. Right. So I feel like this has been like a good intro for us to kickstart kind of our new journey in FedBytes, kind of see how things were, talk about what things are going to be. I think kind of this will give our audience a notion of where you come from and how like our, you know, dynamic works. I'm going to wait for you to kind of also at some point get really pissed off and start cursing in Spanish at some point.
I don't know. I don't know if I curse in Spanish anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I speak with the other people in Spanish, but yeah.
Oh, it doesn't come out like
initially. That I'm from Argentina. Uh-huh. Yeah. I born in Argentina. Then I moved to Israel when I was 20. And then I moved to New York when I was 40.
So yeah. Where are you going to move to when you're 60?
I don't know. China.
Mars, maybe.
Mars. Oh, man. I wish. I wish I could.
Well, as long as like there's no problem with Elon and Zuck, like, doing stuff, right?
You think, yeah.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
I wish. But, you know, Elon doesn't, he doesn't have a chance. I can hear you.
Yeah, you can't hear me. Sorry. Yeah,
right. Elon doesn't have a chance.
No, doesn't have a chance. Yeah. No, I don't.
Don't suck, you know, fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You saw those videos? People.
No, I didn't.
Give him shit. I mean, he's really good.
I heard he trains.
He won
jiu-jitsu.
A tournament.
Mm-hmm. Third place or something, no?
What?
He took third place.
I don't know, whatever. It's like, you know, it's a message for everyone. It's like,
don't fuck with the Zuck.
Yeah, don't fuck with Zuck. Yeah.
All right. And on that note, I think we'll bid you adieu. Yeah, until next time, man. It's been fun.
It's really fun. Really fun. Always fun to talk with you and to be here.
To new beginnings, man.
Yeah, man.
Peace out.
Peace.